So this week is going to be quite a big week for South Africa. And I'm not just referring to the World Cup football or soccer, whatever you choose to call it. Although if we touch on that topic for just a second, isn't it such a blessing that even though we got off to an absolutely dreadful start, we still managed to scrape through and we are now in the knockout rounds for the first time ever. And this, from the standpoint of the country, a country's morale, is exceptionally well-timed. So nobody expected them to scrape through, not a chance, but against all odds, in a week where everything seemed stacked against them, they made it. And I think it's a pretty good picture of where we find ourselves as a nation this week. And also something that God specializes in. But this is also going to be an interesting week for this country in another area, and one that we, in this community, are very well aware of. And a lot of us will be affected by this one way or another. There's a big push to remove illegal immigrants and workers from our country. It's being advertised everywhere. The sensationalists are out in full force, telling us that this will turn into a violent protest and that we should be very careful of who we harbor and who we employ and that we should not get in the way for fear of our lives. Well, for me personally, this is kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, they're both good and bad points from both sides. But this isn't really about what I think because, well, the thoughts of a man are largely irrelevant. But we should rather cling to the words of a greater authority. What does the Word tell us about this immigrant situation? And how should we handle the situation that we are faced with? Well, Christianity teaches us that God, His Word, and His precepts are all unchanging. But believers may struggle to find the most appropriate guidance from Scripture for handling a very specific and very public decision, depending on the nation or the specific time period. So I'm hoping that this will shed a little bit of light and that there will be some sort of reasoning around the matter at hand. In Acts 17, verse 2, Paul says this when he was preaching about Christ. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Paul didn't just preach at people. He reasoned with them. But he reasoned with them from Scripture. And that's what I want to do today. Not to tell you what to think, but let's reason through this from the Word. But before we do that, there's a big question that must first be answered. Before we can reason and sit and rationalize all day long, what role does God intend the government to fulfill? The earthly government is the mechanism through which public policy is created. It's their role. Scripture clearly indicates that God charges the authorities with preserving order, with protecting citizens, and punishing wrongdoers. So Romans 13, verses 1 to 7, say this. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath upon him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. There are similar teachings in 1 Peter and in Titus 3, which urge us to obey secular authorities, because they hold a godly agency. Whether the individuals in charge are personally characterized by godliness or not. And this is where I start to struggle a bit, because I'm not a huge fan of authority. I hate being told what to do, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this. But I subject to the authority of God because I trust in Him. I believe wholeheartedly that He is in complete control and that He has no evil or selfish intentions, or He can't have. Modern governments, well, that's where I battle with my submission. But let's take a look at another angle. Let's look at Leviticus, at the law. So Leviticus 19 verses 33 to 34 say the following. And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Exodus 22, verse 21 says, you shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Scripture tells us to obey the law. And by the law, I'm talking about the law laid down in Scripture. Everything from the beginning to the end. In Matthew 5, verses 17 to 18, Jesus laid it out for us. He said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So the law still applies. But then we have civil law to contend with as well. Now, obviously, I'm not here to make a political stand, so please don't take it in that manner at all. But in my thought process, if we take one and one, it makes two, and we put two and two together, I suppose we get four. Where is the issue? And how do we actually deal with our current situation? We have people that are making a life for themselves here because they are unable to in their own country. We have local people who are disgruntled because illegal immigrants are taking a portion of their work. I'm not going to get into the how and the why, because I don't have the answers. But just by looking at these scriptural examples, maybe the answer is a lot simpler than we think. As per Leviticus, these people are here, and we should accept them as brothers and sisters. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. The onus lies on the government to ensure that the illegal immigrants do not cross the borders, as this is largely the issue at hand. The onus lies with us to treat all people, nationals, both local and foreign, as brothers, sisters, as people that dwell amongst us. I'm not saying that this will ever be a black and white issue, and okay, I'm not talking about race here. I mean, this will never be clear cut. There's a wonderful old saying that says, And where there are people, things are messy. There are people in a church, therefore church can get messy. It's man's nature. Man's nature to be self-serving, to pursue their agendas, to have their say first, and to oppress those that they despise, to harm those people that they fear. So here's where I land on this. The government's job is to manage the borders, to manage policy, because that's Romans 13. Our job is to manage our hearts and our hands. So that's Leviticus 19. Those two things don't always have to be in conflict. We can respect the law of the land, but still treat every human in front of us with the love of Christ. But ultimately, I'm not definitely coming forward with the defeatist attitude here. I'm not saying that, well, this isn't our problem, so let's just ignore it and it'll go away. Because we are all faced with labor issues. Well, pretty sure in that goes hand in hand with financial losses or issues. But aren't we used to that by now? You know, we're still here. We're still alive. We're still kicking. We still have food in our bellies. But why is this? Well, this morning I'm thrilled to announce to you that you all have supernatural protection. You have protection, and you have protection, and you have protection, and you have protection, and you, and you, and you. So no matter what your stance is on the current debacle, or what the latest threats, or the latest declaration, or the latest incredible thing, it's just this, that God has his hand on your life. Amen. Our job, first and foremost, to trust in him. While circumstances may seem a little unusual, ludicrous, even outrageous, and on all sides this can happen, the wisdom of God is above all logic and all human reasoning. So we've looked at what the word says about government and about strangers and about the law. But here's the truth that underpins all of it, no matter what this week looks like. We are not without covering. We are covered. And we need to step out in that covering, because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we just get so overwhelmed by circumstance or by the barrage of information that's thrown at us that sometimes we feel like we're in the floodwaters. But we are not. Noah was instructed to build an ark that would preserve those who responded in faith, those who were obedient. Not many were. But let's look at what God commanded Noah to cover the ark with. Genesis 6, verse 14. God said, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch." With pitch. The Hebrew word used for this is kofar, which carries the meaning of a ransom price. And this is a foreshadowing or a typology of the blood. Isn't that something? God didn't just tell Noah to build the boat. He told him to cover it in something that foreshadowed the very blood that would one day cover us. God has always been in the business of making a way for his people. Exodus 12, verse 13 tells us about blood on the doorposts of every household, protecting God's people from an angel of death while they were under persecution in a foreign land. And it says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. That blood of Jesus is our covering. It is our covenant to remember the precious and costly price that he paid for us. Interestingly, when Daniel stood against the giant who opposed God's people, even the ground beneath his feet declared victory. The battle took place at Ephes Damim, which means the Valley of Blood. God's people have always fought from a place of blood-bought authority. And we know that the blood of Jesus still speaks. It still carries authority. It still protects and delivers and intercedes on our behalf. Hebrews 12 verse 24 says that Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And what about this powerful scripture from Revelation 12, 11 that says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. That covenant made in his blood still stands and it still overcomes. So how do we live this out, particularly in this week ahead? Well, let me leave you with three things. Because three is a nice number. First, are you covered? Before anything else, before we talk about what's happening out there, the question is what's happening in here? Am I covered by the blood of Jesus? And this isn't a passive thing. This is an act of submission, a show of faith, an acknowledgement that we are not the ones ultimately in control of our lives. We are co-pilots. He is the pilot. Secondly, how will you treat those around you this week? Whether you are the one feeling persecuted or the one in a position of authority, the commandment of Jesus does not change. Love one another as he loves us. Not going to lie, this is an almost impossible task. But we always give it our best shot, right? And we do it with sincerity. We look at every person in front of us, local, foreign, documented, or not. We look at them as a brother, as a sister, as someone that Christ died for. It's not about breaking a law to be a hero. It's about the small things. It's about a kind word, a helping hand. It's about loving your neighbor. And thirdly, will you declare that covering? Will you declare it over your home, over your business, over your farm, over your community? The blood of Jesus still speaks, it still protects, and it still overcomes. So what will be. But what type of people will we be when everything unfolds? We can just close our eyes for a moment. Pray. Lord, we really are sheep. We are helpless. But Lord, we have used the shepherd for guidance. Lord, you are as the shepherd, you're in control. You show us, you lead us, you move us where we need to be. You also represent that which we need to be more like. So Lord, I pray for this nation, because it's not enough just to pray for this community. Lord, I pray for those being persecuted. Lord, I know you will make a way for them. No matter what the outcome is, you will make a way for them. And for those on the other side, those that are doing the persecuting, Lord, I just pray that they're merciful. Well, we know that there's no need for an uprising. There's no need for outlandish violence. I know that this is the way some people like to move. But Lord, I just pray for your hand over this country as we move to the end of the month. When the hammer comes down, when everyone's scared, when everyone's panicking, we will not panic. We will not be afraid. We have nothing to fear. Lord, I cover this community in your blood. Lord, have your hand over this place, over the hearts and the minds of the people. Turn their faces towards you. Spare those that are downtrodden. Spare those who are desperate. Show them your love. Give them your hope. When they turn to one of us, let us be courageous enough to show them love, to show them compassion, to show them exactly the way you would have treated them. Lord, this is no small feat, but we have no fear because we have you. Because we have love, we have brothers and sisters, and we have your blood. And we praise your mighty name, Jesus, and we thank you so much for that covenant. And as we walk out of these doors today, Lord, may we walk out smiling, happy, confident. Because there is nothing in this world that we need to worry about. The only actual thing we need to worry about is our salvation. Everything else is second prize. You are the first. Amen.